Psalm 107.
One of your favorites.
How'd you know that? Brother Tegan, you are like a prophet. This is one of my favorite psalms. For a different reason than the others. And this actually, as you'll see in your Bible, many of your Bibles are divided up into five groups of the psalms. This is the last group, the fifth book of Psalms. Psalm 107 is the first psalm of the fifth book.
What are those books? Were they really in the ancient text divided up?
Nehemiah, kind of. But in my Hebrew Bible, it's just the Psalms. It's just the Psalms, 150 Psalms, and the 151st is apocryphal. It's not in the Hebrew Scriptures.
He actually got another one in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff. The Dead Sea Scrolls was brought up. The Dead Sea Scrolls not only has the Hebrew Scriptures that corroborate it, but it had all kinds of other writings that were extra-biblical. And some would like to impose them upon the Bible, but... they don't look too anointed. many traditions that have come up too because of them. Psalm 107 has no inscription, and from the New King James Version, verse 1, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Verse 4, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Verse 10, "Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." Verse 14, "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two." Verse 17, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Verse 23, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to their depth, to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble." They, bless you. "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses." Verse 29, "He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Verse 33. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Verse 39, when they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Verse 43, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Well, again, Tegan was right. This is one of my favorite psalms. There was a... I'm not going to mention the denomination. It was a particular retired pastor from a denomination who was visiting with us in King Cove Bible Chapel. It's called King Cove Bible Church now, but it was King Cove Bible Chapel then. And he came out of a particular denomination that looked down their nose at refrains and choruses in hymns, whereas, as you can see, that this one's somewhat repetitive in the verse 31, also in the three other places. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In the King James Version, New King James Version, possibly even the English Standard Version, I didn't check, but it's basically the same verse, and it's repetitive. The things of God are repetitive, and they must be, because we are sinful human beings. And especially good verses, great verses like that one right there, which we'll take a look at in a moment. As you can see from your handout, I did not spare you, again, the words of Mr. Spurgeon. He has this to say on the subject, etc. And this is almost a photocopy, except for the footnote. You know, it's retyped, but almost a photocopy of what I have on the Passmore and Alabaster edition. It's a 7-volume edition that was published in the late 19th century, early 20th century. In this subject, he says this, quote, "This is a choice song for the redeemed of the Lord," verse 2. "Although it celebrates providential deliverances and therefore may be sung by any man whose life has been preserved in time of danger, yet under cover of this, it mainly magnifies the Lord for spiritual blessings, of which temporal favors are but types and shadows. The theme is thanksgiving and the motives for it. The construction of the psalm is highly poetical, and merely as a composition, it would be hard to find its compeer among human productions. The bards of the Bible hold no second place among the sons of song." For the division, he writes this, quote, "The psalmist commences by dedicating his poem to the redeemed who have been gathered from captivity." In verses 1 and 3, he then likens their history to that of travelers lost in the desert, in verses 4 through 9, to that of prisoners in iron bondage, in verses 10 through 16, to that of sick men, in verses 17 to 22, and to that of mariners tossed with tempests, in verses 23 through 32. In the closing verses, the judgment of God on the rebellious and the mercies of God to his own afflicted people are made the burden of the song, in verses 33 through 42. And then the psalm closes with a sort of summing up in verse 43, which declares that those who study the works and ways of the Lord shall be sure to see and praise his goodness, end quote. And compere there, I actually added the footnote for the young people who end up having a getting a copy of this and don't want to look it up, but I provided it for you from Webster's 1828 dictionary. For our devotional thought of Christ from Psalm 107, I caused it to be like a refrain or a chorus in the whole of the psalm itself, whereas we see the key verses, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men," found in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. Now, the call to give thanks, in verses 1 through 7, we see the call to give thanks to God for Christ's merciful redemption in verse 2, and Christ's guidance through dry places in verses 3 through 7. This is one of the ways that we see the Messiah in it. In verses 8 through 14, we have the call to give thanks to God for Christ's satisfying and fulfilling nature in verse 9, and then Christ stirring the rebellious soul unto repentance in verses 10 through 14. In verses 15 to 20, we have the call to give thanks to God for Christ's power to set captives free in verse 16, and in verses 17 to 20, Christ's powerful word to save and heal brokenheartedness. In verses 21 to 30, we see the call to give thanks to God for Christ's equipping of saints to bring living sacrifices unto God in verse 22. And then Christ's eternal power to calm the storms of doubt and instill peace and faith in verses 23 through 30. In verses 31 to 42, we have the call to give thanks to God for Christ's exalted position and abiding presence in verse 32, and Christ's merciful grace and holy judgment in verses 33 to 34. And then it's capped off with one final exhortation, the call to wisely consider these things with the promise of understanding the loving kindness of Christ. And loving kindness may also be translated mercy, as this comes from the Hebrew word chesed, which can be translated loving kindness, steadfast love, or mercy, which is translated all three ways in the Old King James Version. Our devotional challenge for our youth and the young at heart, since those of you who are saved, you're children of God, the psalm is an evangelist or missionary psalm. It's not just that, and it can be parsed, even though I went through its division in a slightly different way, it can be parsed in several ways to glean many things from it as it unfolds the character and nature of Jehovah God, but also points to the Messiah. But the psalm is an evangelistic or missionary psalm in the way that I parsed it. Surely we are thankful for the Lord's goodness upon us, since we are the children of God. But are we as grateful and full of praise to him for his wonderful works to the children of men? That, in other words, to the unsaved. And that's how I'm reflecting upon that. Although the children of men in this psalm can also be reflective of the children of God, that we are, though we're descendants of Adam, that through the Messiah, we are certainly saved. But as those who are saved, the children of God, we look at those that are unsaved to see the potential in them, that Messiah may also, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be in their lives as he is with ours. And so, here, let the redeemed say so, as it says in verse 2. Here's my challenge to the young people especially. I'm going to gear this to the young people. Young people, pray for an opportunity to share the gospel truth of Christ with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Brother John, I homeschool. I don't see a lot of unbelievers out there. That's okay. So do this. Until the Lord brings you to a place where in his providence that you encounter someone who's an unbeliever, practice telling your parents about Jesus. This is your second challenge. Practice telling your parents about Jesus until you're ready to tell the good news to others. And that's always a good thing, because mom and dad should be, if they're not, that they should be excited to hear the gospel from you. And if they're not, don't tell on them. to pastor, because an addendum to this is also not only tell them to your parents, but tell it to me. You can always tell me what you know of the gospel. And I'll tell you what, if I hear the gospel from you, as you might just say, you know what, Jesus saved me, he shed his blood for me, I will be so excited. You don't know how excited I will be. I can be and will be excited, because I'm excited when anyone tells me that. When anyone is saved and they tell me the gospel, if they're sharing with me as if I'm an unbeliever, I was on a jeepney in the Philippines, and these people were, well, because I look American, I'm probably in the bars. They wanted to share the gospel with me. I said, tell me more. I said, yes, I do know him. After they gave me tracts and everything. You just look unsaved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It was practice for them telling and practice for me listening. One day I'd become a pastor to listen to others. And then the third one, perhaps you're not yet a child of God. So young people, maybe you haven't made a confession of faith. So I challenge you with this. The content of this psalm is for you then, because God's wonderful words extend to those who are not saved. That is to the children of men. So if you read this psalm this week, if you don't know the Lord, see the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus has done to the children of men. And perhaps by his grace that you'll be saved by reading this psalm. So that's my challenge to you. Any questions or comments concerning one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 107? Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for that witness, little mill child. Yes, he's smiling at me. He's looking at it like, this sermon's just for me. If there's nothing else, I'll turn it over to Brother Mike. We'll take some prayer requests.